Okay. Thanks for coming to this meeting. How are we doing on our remote? We have some we have some ideas and some ideas for what people want.
Well, yes, I've look, but done the goal that I was asked to do anyway. I think.
Right, let's just go over the agenda real quick for this meeting, see if I can't get things moving along here a little bit better. I'll go over what we went over last time, which shouldn't take long. Then I believe each of you have a presentation. I've was sent a couple more requirements for our remote, for what they want. Then we can come to a conclusion on what we want the remote to do, and how it's going to do it, hopefully. And then we'll have the closing, which we'll have 40 minutes for. Let's see, the last meeting we went over who was responsible for what. I'm responsible for leading the meetings, keeping the notes, and coming up with the final presentation. Corinne is our marketing expert. She's gonna figure out what the consumer wants. Ryan is our user interface designer, and Manuel is the industrial designer. So you're gonna come up with the ideas, Ryan, and you're gonna pick them apart. We decided our remote, we want it to be a universal remote that everyone would want. We want it to be modern, fun, different. It needs to be sturdy, easy to find, so we're gonna have that locator function. And we want to be different. And then we went over a couple of different ideas: ball-shaped phone, the keyboard shape. We decided that it should probably be one-handed, something we could use with one hand. And that was our last meeting. So, why don't do each of you have a presentation? Okay, I'll hand it off to you, and does anyone you want to go first?
Sure.
So we can maybe see what the people want.
What was it? Function
8, I think.
eight. How do I get it?
Slideshow
to go to the
Oh,
next one.
right.
Yeah, you click on that
That one.
one.
Okay. All right. Well, this is my report, which is going to be based pretty much on a survey that I was sent. Oh gosh, I have no idea. Okay.
Just press the arrow keys, I think you need to go
Okay.
to it.
Sorry, I actually need to see something else on my screen.
Hit F8 again.
Yeah.
I think.
And then again.
Yeah. Do you want it to be on both screens or
No, I want
just
something
yours?
else on mine. Is that possible?
Yeah, but I think you have to hit escape. And then you can.
Okay, but now you don't have that.
Oh, hit F8 again.
Sorry,
I know, I did the same thing. And then it should come up here shortly.
So is there no way I can give you the slideshow?
I think. Oh, give us the slideshow and something on your screen?
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm not sure. You could maybe minimize that screen and then have them both up at the same time, I think.
Okay. So first of all, the method that I used was by doing some marketing research, by doing research on some interviews that were conducted, and then some internet research. And I was sent a report that was, I think there were 100 remote users that they interviewed. And so I will show you some of the results from that, which I think will be helpful. Okay, here are some of the findings. They said that the users dislike the look and feel of their current remote controls. And 75% of the users find their remote controls to be ugly, which is a fairly significant number, I would say. And 80% of the users would be willing to spend more money if they could get a remote that would look fancy. So I think that earlier we were onto something when we were talking about having it be a modern, cool look. I think that's definitely important. They say the current remote controls do not match well the operating behavior of the user. 75% of the users said they zap a lot. And if anyone could clarify what that means. Zap? Does that just mean like changing the channel?
Just using it.
Yeah. Okay. And 50% of the users say that they're only using 10% of the buttons on their remote control. And there was something else. They kept track of the frequency per hour and using certain buttons. And some of them, it looks like, barely need to be included at all. Of course, channel selection is used the most frequently. And then teletext was the next, volume, and then power, and then audio settings, and screen settings and channel settings were practically never used. So I think we could definitely eliminate or somehow combine a lot of the functions into one button. The biggest user frustrations, as we said, 50% of people find that their remotes are lost somewhere, and so I think a tracking device of some sort would be a good idea. They said it take 34% said it takes too much time to learn how to use a new remote, and 26% said that the controls are bad for RSI.
Repetitive strain injury.
What is it?
Just repetitive strain injury, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's what I guess.
Okay. And so as far as speech recognition goes, the younger group looks like they're all for it. From the 15 to 25 age group, over 90% said they would pay more. And it kind of just went down incrementally. The groups, the older they get, it looks like the less willing they are to pay. So maybe we could discuss this and think, decide if we think it's worth investing in this, at least if we're targeting the younger groups. And so, in conclusion, some things that I drew from this are that I think we were correct. We definitely need to focus on a new modern appearance, since so many people seem to be concerned about the ugliness of the remote control. A multifunctional remote could be a good thing to explore, so you only have one rather than 5 different remotes sitting all over your room. We need to simplify the remote and reduce the number of buttons, get rid of the ones that don't seem to be serving much purpose. And then lastly, I thought that maybe we could discuss the idea of speech recognition. And that's it.
Okay. Very nice. Now we actually have some ideas of what people want and what we should focus on. Wait, can I look at that real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Multifunctions.
Sorry, did you guys get time to write everything
yeah.
that you needed? Okay.
Having just listened to what Colin just said, I'll draw on some of the things as well. There's some things that are sort of relevant to what I want to say. Okay, so I'm just going to, yeah, approach to technical functions design. The method I used was to explore the technical functions of remote control, and simplest approach that I came to is to change, program, and operate an electronic device remotely. I mean, that's an obvious thing to say, but it's not attached to the device that you want to control. I had some things sent to me, not very much, to look at similar devices, the findings from them, and then the personal preferences that I would suggest. We discussed a universal one. It's just been brought up again then, but I think a universal remote control is actually quite a difficult object to design, and possibly within maybe the budget that we'd do it, because you'd need to know all the specifications of all the like electronic companies. I'm not sure if you've ever come across a universal remote control yourself, but you have to, they're a nightmare to use. You have to set them, reset them to everything, and that would only add buttons, whereas I think they used to take away buttons. So I think it's better maybe to concentrate on maybe just a universal one for TVs, or maybe just one that we could design, and then different people, manufacturers, could use it to set their specifications if the aim is to get something that's unique in design. Okay, here's just two pictures of remote controls. It's just simple TV remote controls. But one is user-centered. That is the one on the left. And you can straight away see there's less buttons. And the other one is something engineer-centered, where that's more specified for the sort of the elaborate piece of equipment it's trying to control. I'd ask which appeals more to the product that we want, and on what the findings have said in the market research and stuff. We're probably looking at something that should be user-centered, fewer buttons, simple to use. And if 10% is hidden away, if 10% is what's used, maybe the other 50%, the buttons that are used very rarely, like programming, they could be hidden. Maybe under some remote controls that you might have come across have maybe a little flip thing where they're hidden away, and the main buttons are the ones you come across. And finally, sort of covered that. Our product, I think, should be user interface orientated. Like I said, to concentrate on TV remote control, universal remote might be too complex. And as what the major findings of market research has just said, it's the image and the appearance that people dislike, so that we should concentrate on something that would set a trend and change the fashion of remote controls. And that's it.
What was your last conclusion on that one? Focus on
on the image of it.
The image of it.
The actual design.
Okay. Good, good.
Okay, I'm going to talk to you about the working design of the interiors, basically, which is what dictates the design, both the interface, basically, and the outer appearance, because this is all the stuff that needs to go in there, right? So, unfortunately, the people who were supposed to do this little presentation for me, obviously, we're too drunk to actually accomplish it. So I'm going to do lots of the stuff on the board. just this is the basic premise of a remote control. The basic function is to send messages to another system. Okay, so much is clear. An energy source feeds an integrated circuit, like a chip that can compose messages, often in the form of infrared bits. This is the mostly used. There's also some sound systems, but infrared is the better or the more used system. Parts are cheaper as well. A user interface controls the chip and accordingly the messages. This is where my people screwed up, basically. So I'm going to explain that on the board rather. What we have is different components that obviously need to go in there. We'll start with an energy source, right? Which is usually a battery, right? Since it's not feasible to add a cable to that. This energy source, of course, is connected to the user interface itself, which can be buttons, whatever, which in fact controls a chip, right? This is the user interface, and then we have the chip. The way this goes normally is that this chip then controls an infrared lamp that sends out the signal. Of course, the signal differs accordingly, depending on what the chip tells the infrared lamp, and of course that's controlled. The chip itself is controlled by the user interface. The way you normally do it is that you add a little device such as a lamp to the whole thing as well, so that you know that it's working. Basically, you press something, you get a response, which is also comparatively important on one of those devices. Now, this what we're talking about here, or what I think should be discussed, are these two components mostly. The energy source, for one thing, can be altered. What we probably cannot alter is, of course, the sending device, basically the infrared lamp. We cannot change the chip which controls the infrared lamp, right? These two are components that we have to use, and these are dictated by the whole function of the whole thing. The lamp can be put on to the device. It doesn't have to be there. This can be discussed as well. The user interface, that's something we can also discuss. As we've heard, speech recognition is the hype, obviously, in the moment. Speech recognition interface, we don't know that, or if we just do the usual button thing, or we have a touchpad or something like that, that's something we can discuss. And of course, the energy source, batteries, solar cells, who knows. Of course, it's always a question whether these components are, in fact, available, cheap enough, developed enough. But that's, like, I suppose, rather up to marketing, not to.
So we could
to the industrial design.
The more complex we make it, of course, the more expensive
it's going
to
be. Yeah.
But people have said that they would, well, younger generations of people said that they would pay more for a speech recognition remote. So possibly it might be worth the investment.
I think speech recognition was one of those things where they have to be really good for them to work. Cause sometimes you find yourself just saying things over and over and it's on your phone.
I agree.
And you need to sort of take into like languages and then different dialects, I suppose, as well.
Myself, I find when you
when there's something that speech recognition, like you call on the phone and you try to change your telephone or power or something, sometimes they have a speech recognition on the other end, and you say one for this, and you find yourself, like you said, saying the same thing over and over and over. I find myself, especially if I'm in a crowd of people, looking really silly. So maybe if you're sitting on your couch with a bunch of people, then...
Would you want to keep saying stuff if you were watching stuff? If you were watching something, would you sort of be wanting...
Volume up, volume down, change the channel, you know, channel up, channel down? I don't know.
Another thing about these figures is 91% of the youngest age group said they'd do it, but probably a lot of them, that's actually their parents' money. Like, I don't know if they would actually go out and purchase this themselves, a 15-year-old, you know?
As well, it'd be the gimmick factor for the younger people. Or practically,
It's a gimmick factor that they like at first and
wear off.
Gets old, yeah.
Okay. Let's see here.
Do you want to put your cord back on?
Yeah, I guess so. Trade you. Now, I was sent a couple of things to modify our new requirements. The remote's only going to be for the television, which is good because we already decided, or your research showed that not only is universal remote more complicated, it's more costly, and your research showed that, you know, most of the people don't even use it. I think you said 50% of the people only use half the or 10% of the buttons. So if we remove the universal remote, then that solves that problem. No teletext, so we don't have to worry about that. But we do have to use, the company wants us to incorporate the corporate color and our slogan, which is "We put the fashion in electronics." And our corporate colors are gray and yellow. And we could probably get away with black too, but... So those are the three new requirements that I was told we need to use. From all three of your presentations, I think that we were on the right track a lot in our last meeting. We want something that looks good. We want something that's simple. We want something that you can find easily. And the speech recognition, I guess, is kind of a give or take. It's going to cost more. The younger people say that they like it, but it's probably, I would say, probably not worth the investment at this point in time. So maybe we should just do away with speech recognition. And that way we can focus on our form.
I did have a thought about the sort of the tracking thing. Is that if it came with maybe a holder, a holster, whatever you want to call it, that you should put it back in your remote. But if you don't put it back in, you press something like a little button on that, and that just sort of sends out a beep to find where it is or something. Just by infrared, that shouldn't be too complex, I thought.
That'd be good if we were going with our ball.
Yeah, it would be quite good.
Or with that. You know, I guess with any form that would be good. You know, that could be the charger for you know, we could use rechargeable batteries in the remote, and that would be, or solar, or you know, however you wanted to go about it. The holder could also be the charging unit.
Yeah.
With the locator button. And if it were the ball, you'd no longer have to have a flat space on it.
Yeah.
Well, you still
we still have the to hold on to it, and
yeah, you put it on the couch table while you're watching.
It's gonna roll away.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue, really.
So I guess after the meeting, we'll have some questionnaires and some summaries for what's going on. Then we'll take lunch, and we can come back and work on our individual work. I'll do the minutes. Let's see. It looks like you're already on your way for working with the components, chips, what chips we need and what, you know, how to power it and whatnot. User interface concept, we want it to be something simple.
Yeah.
Minimal number of buttons. I guess our main thing that we should focus on until then is probably deciding on a certain look. You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you have time earlier to work on that? Did you guys feel you have enough time in between our meetings to get everything done that you need to get done?
I'll look at the actual appearance in the next break. I do still think it needs to be something that is ultimately one-handed. The ball is probably not a good idea, and even something that's held like that might be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it still has to be a variation on maybe on a rectangle, but maybe not necessarily as boring as playing as a rectangle.
Should we maybe shoot for a specific target group? That way we could, if we were shooting for young guys, then it's a certain look to the remote, or girls, or older people. You think that would help us find a specific form that we would want to pick out?
I don't know if that might come up from like the trend watching. Do you find anything more on that?
Yeah, not yet, but maybe by the next meeting we'll have some info on that.
Okay. So, we know that the remote's going to have to be, we'll just say we've got a color scheme for it.
Yeah.
Yellow and, yellow, it's nice and bright, with the buttons being gray or black, and our slogan pasted somewhere on it, on the bottom.
Bottom
or
perhaps,
the,
yeah.
You know. Maybe we could sketch. So basically, all of our remotes, all of our typical remotes now are just kind of a rectangular sort. Maybe we could flare it or something, so it's more, of course, this will look like a bone then. Let's go ahead and erase this. Hope everyone memorized that.
It might be to look at like sort of the shape and trend of like things like mobile phones and shapes that they've been going.
Yeah, yeah.
They've gone from big brick block things, which is ultimately what the remote control is, sort of slinky, small things.
Yeah, everybody's got a mobile phone, right? Except for me, now.
But they are all, you know, mobile phones, they've kind of taken a turn to where they're really small.
Yeah.
Which may defeat our purpose for being able to locate our remote all the time.
Right.
But then again, you don't want, you know, like the first mobile phone that was this big and you had a handbag to carry it around in. So we've got basically what remotes look like now is kind of what we're stuck with. Maybe we could go with a square or something. You know, with minimal number of buttons. I guess you've got, you know, 1 through 9. If you're typing in your channels, you've got volume up and down, channel up and down,
power,
usually at the top, a mute.
That's the classic design.
That's pretty much all you need, I think. A menu button, maybe. Right. So, you know, if we want the remote to do other things like, or I guess the TV to be able to change the tint and the color and, you know, all those kind of things that are built into TVs, we just have that under one standard menu button where you go in, press the menu button, scroll up and down to select it.
Yeah.
Talking of which, maybe a scrolling function is not too bad.
Okay. So let's
talk about maybe look at that from the side there, maybe, which is technically the easiest option would probably be like a scrolling wheel like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a wheel on your mouse.
Yeah, sort of like that.
Sort of.
You can even, if we're coming from mice, we can even add a click function where you, in order to verify the information, you just press it down. Right.
It's a good idea.
Also, when it comes to the ergonomics of the whole thing, if you want to make it square for the looks of it, then maybe to make it more comfortable to hold the whole thing, you add a little bulge down here. Which maybe from an engineering point, this could be holding the batteries and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know what
looks
I'm getting at here.
Yeah, looks good.
Look at it from the side. It's like that. Right. Then you hold it in your hand like this. And
yes,
maybe you bring the buttons nearer to the, or the more important buttons nearer to the
thumb.
The side.
Yeah.
The right.
Thumb, yeah. Maybe the buttons could like decrease in size. The bigger ones, you know, they used to be bigger in size and the ones that are less important, smaller here.
Right. You can also have it, maybe talking about mobile phones again, sliding open.
Yeah.
With the lesser used functions
behind
on this part, and
definitely
then it slides into that part.
So I've just been sketching something similar, just like on a sort of side view. Something that, you know, would sort of fit in the hand better. So, you know, you just sort of have your hand.
Well, it's just thinking this.
Yeah.
This, of course,
and
causes.
And your thumb will be up here, type thing.
Causes a problem for left or right handed people, actually.
Yeah, that's also true.
So
that, yeah, instantly, sort of always going for the right handed person.
Right.
But, I mean, it's the old.
Yeah, is everyone who in here is right handed, left handed?
Right.
You guys all right-handed.
Right-handed, yeah.
So, I'm left-handed, but I can say that most things are designed for right-handed people.
That's right.
Like the written language, or English.
Maybe you could buy like a special left-handed version of the remote.
Maybe. Oh.
Special order.
I would say, I mean, it should be probably designed for a right-handed person.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's. I think we've got kind of a good plan there. At least for what buttons we're going to use. So we've got, I like the scroll action and the...
I mean, I'm just thinking maybe if it was circular. With this sort of, that sort of, the sort of early idea we had, but the way that was more like that, whereas this is just a one-handed thing that you sort of almost wrap around the thumb, so you'd have you'd put your hand into there, the thumb there, and your thumb you'd have all the buttons sort of around here, and that I think could work.
Yeah.
On any hand.
Kind of like holding it.
If you just had it like wrapped around there, left or right.
It minimizes its size wise.
Minimize its size, it could be, you know, really quite small.
Then there's maybe another point of making it a 2-in-1 kind of thing. If we have a smaller device that actually fits into the big one, give full functions in here and just a couple of functions in there.
Yeah.
Like your zapping device. Function. It's just channels up, down, volume, and on, off. That's it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So two remotes in one, but then would be easier to lose one or the other.
That's right. Means the big one has to be sufficiently big and perhaps heavy so you can't move it around. Make it a piece of furniture.
Yeah. It actually is your coffee table.
Yes, there you go.
Statue.
Okay, well, we need to finish up here. So for the next... before the next meeting, shall we work on your watching trends mm-hmm. to see what kind of new information we've got going on? Manuel, you're going to work on the components for what we're going to use. Let's go with our rounded kind of fit in your hand. Let's explore the possibility of having the two-piece, so one for the quick zapping and possibly one, you know, with just that rounded part that fits into your hand. And Ryan, you work on how well they'll work with the user. So both of those concepts. And okay, I think we made some good progress here.
All right.
We'll see you in, I don't know, I guess we'll take lunch in about half an hour. Or I guess we'll be taking lunch shortly and then about half an hour after that, we'll probably have another meeting.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.